أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awud, and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the Fifth, may Allah be his helper, stated, "The expeditions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and his character during these expeditions were discussed in the previous sermons. In this regard, the details of the Battle of Tabuk were being mentioned. Further details of this are as follows. It is recorded that on this occasion, a lady expressed her earnest zeal and passion to participate in the battle. It is recorded in the following manner that for battles, even women did not refrain from offering sacrifices in some way or form. They remained at the forefront in offering financial sacrifices as well, for which they took off their jewelry and presented it to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We also find preserved in the books of history an incident of sacrificing one's sentiments. Mentioning this incident, Hazrat Muslim Aud, may Allah be pleased with him, states, since the army was heading towards Syria and the scenes from the Battle of Mu'ta were still before them, the thought of every Muslim to protect the life of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, prevailed over all other thoughts. Even women could sense this danger and encourage their husbands and sons to participate in the battle. This sincerity and zeal can be gauged by the following, that a companion who had left home for some work returned when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had already departed from Medina along with his army. Having been away from home for a while, he entered his home with the thought of seeing his wife and rejoicing. He saw his wife sitting in the courtyard and advanced affectionately in order to demonstrate his love. When he approached his wife, she pushed him away with both hands. This companion looked at the face of his wife in astonishment and asked, having met after so long, what is the reason for this treatment? The wife replied, are you not ashamed that the Messenger of God, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is heading towards this dangerous place and you dare to be affectionate to your wife? First go and fulfill your obligations and after that, we can think about these things. The companion immediately left the house, saddled his mount, and met the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, after a three-day journey. Hazrat Muslim Aud, may Allah be pleased with him, has related this incident on another occasion as well. The first extract has been mentioned in the introduction to the study of the Holy Quran, and the second mention was made during a speech at the Ijtima of Khuddamul Ahmadiyya. Hazrat Muslim Aud, may Allah be pleased with him, states, once the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent a companion away from home for some work. Following that, the Battle of Tabuk occurred. This was an extremely dangerous area. At that time, the Roman Empire was as powerful as the United States and Russia are today. Yet the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had to encounter such a powerful empire with an insignificant army. There were very few Muslims in Medina, and the people in the surrounding areas were not united either. However, even if they were united, they would be insignificant in comparison to the Emperor of Rome. As such, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, instructed that everyone should join the battle. When the Muslim army had departed, this companion, whom the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had sent away from home for some work, returned. He was a young man, newly married. After a long separation, when he entered his home, he saw his wife sitting in the courtyard. He went straight towards her and wished to embrace her. But instead of responding to his affection, she struck his chest firmly with both hands, pushed him back, and said, "The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is out on the battlefield, and you are thinking of showing affection to your wife? By God, until Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, returns safely, I will not even look at your face." That companion immediately left the house and traveled until he caught up with the Muslim army at a distance of a three-day journey from Medina. He only returned home once the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, himself returned to Medina along with his other companions. Such were those people who, at every moment of danger, unhesitatingly put their lives at risk. No hardship or pain ever came upon them that they considered too great. Rather, whenever an opportunity for service arose, they joyfully offered their lives. In any case, further details mention that after stopping at 15, or according to some narrations, 19 different stations, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and his companions reached the place of Tabuk. The specific details of the locations where the army halted during this journey are not recorded, but later mosques were built at those sites and named after those locations. From this, historians deduced that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, likely stayed at those spots. The names of these places are also recorded in books, ranging from 15 to 22 locations. In Sirat ibn Ishaq and ibn Hisham, 17 places are mentioned where mosques were constructed. These are Dhu Khushab, Faifa, Dhul Marwa, Rukka, Wadi al-Qura, Sa'id, Hijr, Sadri Hawda, Dhul Jifa, Shik Tara, Al-Batra, Ala, Dhat al-Khitmi, Akhdar, Dhat al-Dhirab, Thaniyat Madran, and Tabuk. In one narration, it is related that Hazrat Uqba bin Amir, may Allah be pleased with him, reported, "We set out with the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, during the expedition of Tabuk. One night, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, fell asleep. The journey was long and there was exhaustion. He only awoke when the sun had risen high, about the height of a spear. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, 'O Bilal, did I not tell you to stay awake for us, to wait for the Fajr prayer and wake us up?' Hazrat Bilal, may Allah be pleased with him, submitted, 'O Messenger of Allah, sleep overtook me just as it overtook you. Drowsiness overwhelmed me as well.' The narrator states that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, ordered the army to resume their journey. After traveling some distance, he dismounted, offering the sunnah prayers, and then led the companions in the Fajr prayer. Thereafter, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, continued traveling the entire day and night until the next morning he reached Tabuk. Although it is not explicitly written, naturally, the prayers would have been offered at their respective times during this period. Upon arriving at Tabuk, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, addressed his companions. He praised and glorified Allah and then said, O people, the truest word is the Book of God, and the strongest bond is the bond of righteousness. The best religion is the religion of Abraham, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah upon him. The loftiest matter is the remembrance of Allah. The best story is this Quran. The best of deeds are those performed with firm resolve. The worst of affairs are innovations. The best guidance is the guidance of the prophets. The most excellent form of death is martyrdom. After guidance, the greatest blindness is misguidance. The best deeds are those that are beneficial. The best guidance is that which is followed. The worst blindness is the blindness of the heart, not the eyes, but the heart, being blind when one fails to understand the words of Allah. Then he said, the upper hand is better than the lower hand. A little that suffices is better than an abundance that leads to heedlessness. The worst apology is the apology made at the time of death. The worst shame will be the shame on the day of resurrection. Some people come very late for the Friday prayer, and some only remember Allah intermittently. Among the greatest sins is a lying tongue. The best form of wealth is the wealth of the heart. Meaning the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, did not approve of those who pray intermittently or come late. He said it is a very bad habit. He continued, among the gravest sins is a lying tongue. True richness lies in the richness of the heart. The best provision is righteousness. The height of wisdom is fear of Allah. The best word is that which instills certainty in the hearts. Doubt is part of disbelief. Wailing over the dead is an act of ignorance. Betrayal is a spark of the fire of hell. Evil poetry is inspired by the devil. Wine contains all sins. Women can become snares of Satan. Youth contains a portion of madness. The worst earnings are earnings gained through usury. The worst food is the devouring of an orphan's property. Blessed is the one who learns a lesson from others. Wretched is the one who is wretched even from his mother's womb. Every one of you will ultimately reach 4 cubits of earth, meaning every person must eventually die and enter the grave. Matters depend on the hereafter, and actions are judged by their end. The worst narrators are the liars. Everything that is coming is near. To abuse a believer is wrongdoing. To fight a believer is disbelief. To backbite a believer is disobedience to Allah. The sanctity of his wealth is like the sanctity of his blood. Whoever swears by Allah falsely will be denying him. Whoever seeks forgiveness from him, he will forgive him. Whoever forgives his brother, Allah will forgive him. Whoever restrains his anger, Allah will reward him. Whoever remains patient in trial, Allah will grant him its reward. Whoever loves to be renowned, Allah will grant him renown. Whoever is patient, Allah will double his reward. And whoever disobeys Allah, Allah will punish him. Then he continued, O Allah, forgive me and my ummah. O Allah, forgive me and my ummah. O Allah, forgive me and my ummah. He repeated this 3 times. Then he said, I seek forgiveness from Allah for myself and for all of you. During the journey to Tabuk, he also gave advice to the companions. In the journey to Tabuk, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, gave advice to the companions on numerous occasions, either individually or collectively, from which some are mentioned here. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates that during the year in which Tabuk occurred, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, addressed the people whilst leaning on his mount. He said, shall I not tell you about the best and the worst of people? Surely the best person among the people is he who, while riding on the back of his horse or camel, or even on foot, strives in the way of Allah until death comes to him. And surely the worst person among the people is that sinful person who reads the Book of Allah but does not leave aside his ignorance nor turn towards any of its words to heed them. Now see how many people nowadays claim to read the Holy Quran but they don't apply it. It is narrated from Hazrat Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, addressed the companions during Tabuk and said, among the people, that man is unparalleled who, whilst mounted on his horse, performs jihad in the way of Allah the Almighty and remains safe from the evil of the people. And the second man who is incomparable is he who distinguishes himself in his prosperity and vast wealth and is hospitable and respectful to his guest and grants the guest their due right. On this occasion, the letter to Heraclius inviting him to Islam is also mentioned. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, reached Tabuk, Heraclius, i.e. the Caesar of the Roman Empire, Heraclius was his name, was in Homs at that time. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, whoever takes my letter to Caesar, paradise is guaranteed for him. A man submitted, even if he does not accept the letter? He said, even then, so go and deliver it. So the man took the Holy Prophet's letter and went and gave it to Heraclius. Heraclius read it and said, go back to your prophet and tell him that I am his follower. But I do not want to abandon my kingship. Heraclius also sent some dinars to be presented to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him. The man returned and told the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, about it, upon which the Holy Prophet said, he has lied, meaning he has not spoken truthfully, and the Holy Prophet distributed the dinars among the people. This letter was taken to Heraclius by Hazrat Dihya. This is besides the other letter which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, had sent through Hazrat Dihya at the end of the 6th year after migration, which Heraclius received in Muharram in the 7th year after migration. Imam Ibn Hajar, with reference to the narrations within the biographies and books detailing these battles, expressed the view that when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was in Tabuk, he wrote letters to Caesar and others for a second time. The confirmation of his view is also established from these letters, which were published in a book form in 1941. The collection of these letters, meaning the name of this book, is Majmu'a al-Wathaiq al-Siyasiyya lil-Ahdi al-Nabawi wal-Khilafati al-Rashida. Its author is Dr. Hamidullah. In this, the historical and political documents are mentioned from the time of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, to the era of the rightly guided caliphs. This book was first published in Egypt in 1941. Nonetheless, this is a reference from that book. And according to it, two letters were sent to the Roman Emperor. In the first letter, it is stated that he should not become a barrier in the acceptance of Islam by his subjects. Otherwise, the burden of the sins of his subjects would also fall upon him. This letter was sent to the Caesar at the end of the 6th year after migration through Dihya Kalbi, while it was written in the second letter, accept Islam, otherwise if you refuse, jizya must be offered. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, also sent this letter through Hazrat Dihya to Caesar at the time of the Battle of Tabuk. In history, treaties with the people of Ayla are mentioned. It is detailed regarding this that when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, reached Tabuk, the Christian rulers of the surrounding areas became frightened. And Allah the Almighty cast such awe upon them that those who were planning conspiracies against the Muslims only a short while earlier now became worried about their survival and began presenting themselves in the service of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, and began asking for peace. The first person among them to present himself was the ruler of Ayla. Ayla is a small city situated on the coast of the Red Sea near Syria. It is the last boundary of Hijaz and is located at the beginning of Syria. During the stay in Tabuk, the ruler of Ayla, Yuhanna bin Ruba, presented himself in the presence of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. With him came the people of Syria, the people of Yemen, the people of the Red Sea, and the people of Jarba and Azru, and they also requested peace treaties. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, wrote a treaty of protection for them. The Holy Prophet wrote, "In the name of Allah, the Gracious, the Merciful." This is a treaty of protection on behalf of Allah the Almighty and His Prophet and Messenger Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, for Yuhanna bin Ruba and for the people of Ayla, their boats that travel in the sea and their caravans that travel on land. They are granted complete security from Allah the Almighty and from Muhammad the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah upon him. In this way, complete security will also be granted to the people of Syria, the people of Yemen, and the people of the Red Sea. Whoever commits any violation, it will be permissible to seize his property. Whoever takes the property of such a person, meaning of the one who rebels, it will be lawful for him. Neither will anyone be stopped from using the water of any spring or well, nor will they be prevented from any route of sea or land. This treaty of protection for the people of Ayla and for Yuhanna bin Ruba was transcribed by Hazrat Juhayn bin Salt and Hazrat Shurahbil bin Hassana under the command of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Yuhanna presented a white mule as a gift to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and presented a garment for him to wear. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, garbed him in a Yemeni cloth and instructed him to stay with Hazrat Bilal, may Allah be pleased with him. Then a treaty of peace was concluded with the people of Makna. The people of Makna were Jews, and this settlement was located near the coast of the sea, close to Ayla. They too came before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, and he granted them a written covenant of security which stated, they are in the protection of Allah and the protection of Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, and they are liable to pay as jizya 1/4 of their spun yarn and woven cloth and 1/4 of their fruits. Similarly, a covenant of protection was also granted to the people of Jarba and Adruh. These were two towns in the district of Balqa in the region of Syria, situated very near to each other, at a distance
of only 3 miles,
while according to another narration, even less than a mile apart. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, granted the people of Jarba and Adruh a written covenant which read, "This is a letter from Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, to the people of Jarba and Adruh. They are in the protection of Allah and the protection of Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah upon him. It is incumbent upon them to pay 100 dinars of pure gold every year in the month of Rajab as jizya, and Allah is the guarantor." In connection to the Battle of Tabuk, a particular expedition is also mentioned, the expedition of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, which was directed against Uqaydir bin Abdul Malik. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, dispatched Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, may Allah be pleased with him, during his stay at Tabuk in Rajab of the 9th year after Hijrah, with a contingent of 420 cavalrymen, towards Uqaydir bin Abdul Malik, who resided in Dumat al-Jandal. Dumat al-Jandal was a fortified town located between Syria and Medina, approximately 15 to 16 days' journey from Medina and roughly 400 kilometers from Tabuk. Uqaydir belonged to the tribe of Banu Kinda and was the ruler of that region. He was a Christian. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said to Hazrat Khalid, "You will see him at night when he goes out to hunt wild cattle. When you see him in that state, capture him." That is, Allah the Almighty had shown this vision to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, that Uqaydir would be seen in that condition, And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, instructed that when that moment came, he should then be seized. He further said, Allah the Almighty will grant you victory over Dumat al-Jandal. When you overpower him, do not kill him, bring him to me. But if he resists and fights, then you may kill him. It is written regarding Hazrat Khalid's departure that he set out in that direction until he reached so near the fortress that it became visible before him. It was a bright, moonlit night. Uqaydir was on the roof of his palace with his wife Ribah bin Naif al-Kindiyya when suddenly a wild cow came near and began striking the fortress gate with his horns. Uqaydir's wife said to him, Have you ever seen such a sight before, that a cow should come from the wilderness and strike the palace gate with his horns? Uqaydir replied, By Allah, I have never seen anything like this. She then said, Who could let it escape? He said, No one. Then the king said, I will go and hunt it right now. So he came down and ordered his horse to be saddled. A group from his household also mounted with him. Among them was his brother Hassan. They all rode out together, pursuing the wild cow without hesitation. Suddenly, from the opposite direction, the cavalry of Hazrat Khalid appeared. They surrounded and captured them. Uqaydir was taken prisoner, but Hassan refused to be captured and resisted. A skirmish ensued and he was killed. Hassan, who was killed, was wearing upon his head a robe of dibaj, a fine silk cloth interwoven with golden threads. Hazrat Khalid, may Allah be pleased with him, sent this robe to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, as a gift, and then himself departed, bringing Uqaydir along in captivity. Further detail is given that after Uqaydir had been captured and his brother Hassan slain, Hazrat Khalid, may Allah be pleased with him, said to Uqaydir, Shall I not grant you protection under the condition that I present you before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, and that you surrender Dumat al-Jandal to us? Uqaydir said yes. Thus, Hazrat Khalid, may Allah be pleased with him, took him along until they came close to the fortress. Uqaydir then called out to his family to open the gate. When they intended to open it, Uqaydir's brother Muzat refused, saying they had seen the shackles upon Uqaydir's hands. Uqaydir said to Hazrat Khalid, You see, they are not opening the gate because they have seen the chains you have bound me with. Release me, and I swear by Allah the Almighty, and by honor and trust, that I will open the fortress for you, provided you make peace with me concerning my family. Hazrat Khalid replied, I shall make peace with you. Uqaydir said, If you wish, I will make you the arbiter, or if you prefer, make me the arbiter. Hazrat Khalid, may Allah be pleased with him, said, We shall accept from you whatever you offer. Then Hazrat Khalid, may Allah be pleased with him, released him. Uqaydir opened the gate of the fortress, and his brother Muzad was also captured. All the items agreed upon in the terms of peace were obtained. In this campaign, the Muslims gained 2,000 camels, 800 slaves, 400 coats of mail, and 400 spears. One-fifth of the spoils was set aside for Allah and His Messenger, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and the rest was distributed among the soldiers who had participated in the expedition. It is also recorded that Uqaydir and his brother were later presented before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Hazrat Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, relates, When Hazrat Khalid brought Uqaydir, I saw him wearing a golden cross and a garment of silk. When he beheld the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he fell down in prostration before him. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said twice, No, no, this is not a prostration that is permissible. Uqaydir then presented some gifts, among them a decorated cloth and a few mules. The Holy Prophet made peace with him on the payment of the jizya. According to Ibn al-Athir, the amount of his jizya was 300 dinars. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, pardoned both him and his brother and set them free. He instructed that a written covenant of security be prepared, recording the terms of peace. The covenant read, In the name of Allah, the Gracious, the Merciful, This is a document from Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, for Uqaydir, issued through Hazrat Khalid, May Allah be pleased with him. He has renounced idolatry and severed all ties with the worship of idols. And he has accepted Islam. According to this letter, he had also accepted Islam. This decree applies to the people of Dumatul Jandal and its surrounding areas. For us shall be the land that is barren and uncultivated, the unknown and unclaimed tracts, the weapons, the camels and the fortresses. These were the things that the Muslims received. And for you shall be the inner date groves of the city, the irrigated lands with springs, and the inhabited areas. Separate livestock shall not be counted among the spoils. You shall not be prevented from grazing your animals therein. You shall establish prayer at its proper time and pay the full zakat. This is Allah's covenant upon you, and truthfulness and faithfulness are binding upon you. Allah and every Muslim are witnesses to this. There is also mention about the demise of a companion and of his burial on the occasion of Tabuk. Upon seeing this, some elder companions expressed the wish that they themselves had been in the place of the one being buried. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, relates, I was with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, during the Battle of Tabuk. On one occasion in the middle of the night, I awoke and saw light emanating from a fire which had been lit on one side of the army. I went towards it to see what it was. When I arrived, I saw the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, and Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. I saw that Hazrat Abdullah Dhul Bijadain Muzani had passed away, and they had dug his grave. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was standing inside the grave, while Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, and Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, were lowering the body to him, as the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, bring your brother closer to me. Thus, they both handed the body of Hazrat Abdullah Dhul Bijadain to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The Holy Prophet placed the body into the grave with his own hands and then prayed. O Allah, I have spent this evening in a state of being pleased with him. May you also be pleased with him. As Abdullah bin Mas'ud states, at that moment I wished that it was I who was being lowered into the grave and receiving such prayers. Hazrat Abdullah Dhul Bijadain belonged to the Banu Muzayna tribe. He was still young when his father passed away. He received nothing in inheritance. His uncle was wealthy and took him into his care until he himself became wealthy and they both began a business together. Abdullah Dhul Bijadain accepted Islam after the conquest of Makkah. Once he accepted Islam, his uncle took everything away from him, to the point that he snatched away his lower garment. His mother then came and divided her sheet into two parts. Hazrat Abdullah used one part as a lower garment and covered himself with the other. He then went to Medina and lay down in the mosque and then offered the morning prayer with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He says that when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would complete the morning prayer, he would look attentively at the people to see who they were and if there was anyone new present. The Holy Prophet looked at Hazrat Abdullah and, finding him unfamiliar, asked, who are you? Hazrat Abdullah replied by mentioning his lineage. In one narration, it is mentioned that he said, my name is Abdul Uzza. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, you are Abdullah Dhul Bijadain, meaning the one with two sheets. Then he said, stay near me. Thus he joined the guests of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and he would teach him the Holy Quran until he memorized a large portion of it. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, set out towards Tabuk, Hazrat Abdullah submitted, O Messenger of Allah, pray that I attain martyrdom. The Holy Prophet prayed, O Allah, I make his blood forbidden upon the disbelievers. He said, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon you, this was not what I intended. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, if you go forth to perform jihad in the cause of Allah and you are afflicted with fever causing your death, you will be a martyr. And if your mount throws you and your neck breaks, you will be a martyr. do not be concerned with the manner in which martyrdom is attained. A few days later, after reaching Tabuk, he passed away due to illness. There is also mention of the funeral prayer of Hazrat Muawiyah bin Muawiyah Muzani during this journey. Hazrat Anas bin Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, relates, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was in Tabuk when Gabriel came and said, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon you, Muawiyah Muzani has passed away in Medina. Allah the Almighty informed the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, through Gabriel, offer his funeral prayer. Then the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was shown a vision in which the cot upon which the body lay was being raised into the air until it was eye level with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Then the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, offered his funeral prayer, and rows of angels stood before him. The Holy Prophet asked Gabriel how Muawiyah attained this rank, whereby he was brought before him in this manner, and he was instructed to offer his funeral prayer. Gabriel replied that it was because of his love for the chapter of the Holy Quran, say he is Allah the One. Whether sitting, standing, riding on a mount, or walking, he would always be reciting it. It is also mentioned that after reaching Tabuk, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, consulted the companions about advancing further. The details are that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sought consultation from the companions about proceeding forward. Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, submitted, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon you, if you have been commanded to advance, then certainly proceed and we will go with you. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon you, replied, if I had been commanded by Allah to advance, I would not be consulting you. Upon this, Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, said, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon you, the Byzantines have vast armies, and none among them are from among the Muslims. We have drawn close to them, and your presence alone has struck fear into them. Let us return this year until an opinion becomes clear, or Allah the Almighty procures some circumstance. After hearing this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, decided to leave Tabuk after staying there for 20 days. According to another narration, the Holy Prophet remained in Tabuk for less than 20 days. These two narrations have been reconciled as follows. In the narration mentioning 20 days, the 2 days of arrival at Tabuk and preparing to depart are included, whereas the other narration does not include these 2 days. The time between the Holy Prophet's departure from and return to Medina was 2 months or more. According to Ibn Sa'ad, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, set out for this expedition in Rajab in the 9th year after migration and returned to Medina in Ramadan in the 9th year after migration, between which lies the month of Sha'ban. Thus, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, remained away from Medina for 2 months or more. Allah knows best. Hazrat Muslim Awad, may Allah be pleased with him, has also explained this, saying, when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, reached Tabuk, which is near Syria, he stopped and sent his men in different directions to report on the state of affairs. The men returned and unanimously reported, there were no Syrian concentrations anywhere. This is what Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, had referred to. No one was stepping forward to battle, and the surrounding areas were frightened, so there was no need to battle. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, decided to return, but stayed for a few days, during which he signed agreements with some of the tribes on the border. There was no war and no fighting. The journey took the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, 2.5 months. Further explanations and details of the return journey to Medina will be mentioned in future, God willing. I have previously requested prayers for Bangladesh. The clerics there and those who are opposed to Ahmadiyyat are creating great disorder. It seems they have also planned a rally for tomorrow. Pray especially for them. May Allah the Almighty keep every Ahmadi safe and protect them from the evil. Likewise, pray for Ahmadis in Pakistan. May Allah keep them safe as well. Indeed, greater prayers are needed. Whenever opponents are suppressed in any way, even through legal measures, Ahmadis ultimately become the target of their frustration. Therefore, Ahmadis must turn more toward prayers and take caution. Similarly, pray for the Palestinians. Despite agreements and despite the ceasefire, they are still being massacred just the same. May Allah have mercy. Likewise, pray for Ahmadis in Africa. In some places, governments are persecuting them, and in other places, terrorists carry out attacks. And at times, Ahmadis are also affected. May Allah establish peace and security throughout the world. After the prayers, I will also lead a funeral prayer in absentia. It is for Muhammad Hussein Sahib, son of Muhammad Ismail Sahib of Rabwa, who passed away a few days ago at the age of 80. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, verily to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. The deceased was a Musi and he had paid his hissa jayadat during his lifetime. He is survived by his wife, 3 daughters and 4 sons. One of his sons, Muhammad Imran Sahib, is serving as a missionary of the Jamaat in Niger, West Africa, and due to being in the field of service, he was unable to attend his father's funeral. Another son is also a life devotee, Muhammad Luqman Sahib, who is serving as a muallim. Ahmadiyyat entered their family in 1956 through the deceased father, Muhammad Ismail Sahib, and the family moved to Rabwa 2 years later. The deceased himself was regular in fasting and prayers. He recited the Quran daily, offered tahajjud, and was a pious, sincere, and prayerful person. Muallim Sahib Mohsin Tayyib writes, I had the opportunity to serve in his neighborhood for 5 years. One prominent quality I observed in him was his great zeal for financial sacrifice. Whenever a new year began, he would always strive to ensure that the first receipt issued for any scheme would be his. At times, he would bring his contribution even before the formal announcement was made. Likewise, whenever extra contributions were encouraged near the end of a financial year, he would, according to his capacity, offer additional sacrifice again. May Allah the Almighty bestow forgiveness and mercy upon him. May He grant patience and strength to the bereaved family, especially his sons who are away from home. May Allah grant them steadfastness and enable them to continue the deceased's good deeds.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر